The Blitz. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready? Hey, you think you could tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down!
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz, click like, send your messages. Aaron will get to them. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitzed, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour, Rockets and Thrones. That was it.
And a couple people pointed out one of the characters that we're forgetting who could easily be on the throne is Bran.
I don't think
that's a good idea, but it's not impossible.
I would hate that ending, too.
I would rather zombie Rickon come back than...
Yeah, that would be cool. I guess all the zombies are dead.
Yeah, so, I guess so.
Poor Rickon. That would be an unsatisfying ending. And I know he's the Vegas favorite, apparently. And with all the leaks that are out there, that's not a good sign. I mean, what would he do? What kind of... How can that guy be king? I remember when you said this, Tyrion. That's it?
Yeah.
So, what are we going to do about rebuilding the city, Bran? Oh, back in the day, it burned down before. We beat the Night King. Yeah, okay, thanks. You're useful. So, I think, we want to take one call on this.
We'll take a call.
People want to weigh in. Robert Baratheon, I'm sure.
No, not Baratheon, but how are y'all today?
We're doing sports, man. What's up?
Oh, one thing I've heard a lot of people talk about on Game of Thrones, and nobody's really mentioned the possibility of Tyrion on the Iron Throne. He is Cersei's heir. He pissed off Daenerys by letting out his brother. If Jon doesn't want it, Jon doesn't like Daenerys now, after what she did, I assume. If she continues to be evil... It's just a possibility.
No, the Lannisters' reign ended last night. I don't think Tyrion has any interest in it at this point.
He doesn't have a claim.
He doesn't have a claim, yeah.
I mean, that was the whole point. You've got two people ahead of him in line and that have better claims. So, I think he dies.
I do, too.
I think that was...
I think Dany kills him, and it pisses Jon off.
Yeah, Jon probably begs for his life.
Yeah.
And that's the thing.
Don't do this.
Yeah. My queen.
I beg of you, don't do this. You're making a mistake. Jacaris.
Justin says, have you watched Chernobyl on HBO? I've recorded it. I haven't watched any of it yet. I binged season 4 of Lucifer Saturday, which was really good. And I started Sneaky Pete.
I watched the first episode of Sneaky Pete last night.
Yeah, I think I'm two or three in on that, so I'm going to try to get...
God, how much TV did you watch this weekend?
I didn't really do anything, because I honestly had a track appearance Saturday night. That was a lot of fun. Hung out with some cool blitzers. The rest of the time, I just stayed home. I'm still recovering from that oral surgery stuff.
That's so for you.
I just took it easy, stayed home, watched a lot of TV, watched a lot of sport, and chilled. That was pretty much my weekend.
All right.
So, Lucifer, though, I was already like 6 episodes in because I started watching that as soon as it dropped. So it was only 4 episodes, I think, that I had to watch. But I really enjoyed it. I thought they kind of kept the same stuff they were doing when it was on Fox, but they made it a little more edgy on Netflix, which was cool. A little more violent. Always a fan of that. And they ended it to where if there's not a season 5, it's great. And if there is, cool. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. 3776. And yeah, just to put a wrap on that. So I guess Sneaky Pete is next on your.
That's what I'm into now. Yeah.
Somebody asked, what was with the Green Dragon fire in the buildings? And that
was all the old
wildfires,
so, like the reserves.
Yeah. That
they were ignited, apparently.
Yeah. And what I was surprised, though, that it was just flashes of it. There wasn't the big. Now, I guess they didn't have it stowed like they did when they blew up the Septon, where they had it all in one place. So maybe that's why you didn't have the big explosion of it.
Yeah.
But I thought that was interesting because it kind of, again, throws back to the whole thing that her dad was going to use wildfire to destroy everybody.
Lamont says Danny's a bigger villain than the Night King now. She had a war won and decided to terrorize citizens. That's what I think is interesting because I always thought, and I thought you made a good point when you were saying, you know, at the beginning of this season that you'd like to see the Night King on the Iron Throne in the end. And I was like, man, that'd be a really sick twist to a series, like to make. I mean, I think you would leave a good amount of your audience pissed off.
Yeah.
At this point, if Danny's on the Iron Throne, there's going to be a lot of pissed off people.
Are they still alive? That kind of gets back to.
No, I'm saying a lot of pissed off people, like viewers. I'm not talking about real people.
Okay, yeah. Because that gets back to my point of why she just flamed everything. It's like, I'm going to get rid of all of them.
I saw some meme of some girl who had named her daughter Daenerys, and now she's so mad. By the way, bad move naming your daughter after a character of a TV show before it's done, because, I mean, a lot can go wrong.
Yeah.
A lot can go wrong.
Well, I think, you know, that's the thing. Is she really full-on villain now?
Yeah.
I don't know that. I think she made a decision that was not a good one, and that but it also won the war. She should have stopped when the bell started ringing, but you're on the back of a dragon. You going to hear those?
Or she should have just gone and blown up the castle. Oh, she heard it.
Because we really didn't. One thing I noticed, we didn't see her after that. We saw the dragon, but we really only saw like one shot of her on the dragon.
I thought we saw her like when the bells were ringing, she was sitting on the wall on that dragon, and. Like, you just saw her fate. Like, she knew, okay, well. And then she's like, nah, I'm going to burn this mother.
Yeah, it didn't surprise me that she did that. I don't agree with it, but it's not unprecedented either. You destroy all the enemies, whether they surrender or not. Because, okay, maybe they surrender. The Lannister guys throw down their swords. That's great. But what happens when she's in charge? Maybe they try to assassinate her again. And maybe somebody starts another rebellion. She's trying to end all that right then and there. Not saying it's right, but we've seen it all throughout history. So does it make her a villain? Depends on your perspective. I think it depends on how she reacts now. If she keeps burning people to the ground, yeah, she's a villain. But if she's going to make the world a better place, okay. I don't know if the ends justify the means, but that was the decision that she had to make.
All right,
quick break. We'll get to some other stuff. There's other things happening in the world. John Beilein to the Cavs.
Crazy.
We'll talk about that and some other stuff. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Mutt said, yes, you destroyed all of King's Landing, but how will the other six kingdoms view her? Not to mention, Varys pretty much got the word out to the other houses. Well, Dorne was already behind her. Tarleys are gone. There's nobody at Highgarden.
I mean, what's going on the Iron Islands? We haven't even seen old Yara.
Yeah, well, forever. Yara was her ally all along, so she gets to keep the Iron Islands. That was the deal. So
that was weird. We haven't seen her since Theon saved her.
Yeah.
And I don't, I mean, it's not like I care about what's going on out there, but it is. And like the Braun thing. I mean, I guess that's where they've got an episode to figure it out, but the doesn't that seem kind of like a waste of time at this point?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't know. We got 80 minutes left for them to wrap up the whole thing. And it that worries me a little because at the end of this one, I thought, you know, there's not really that much left to wrap up. But obviously, you know, there's still more story that they haven't touched on. So what do you think of the Cavaliers stealing your Michigan coach?
I think John Beilein's a great coach, but John Beilein's also in his 60s. And
is he looking to get paid?
I mean, he's been paid. I would imagine. I mean, I don't know what. I mean, I haven't seen the details on how much money he'll make, but it does seem like an odd choice to me. And this is a guy who has put together some really good offenses. And like I said, I think he's a borderline great college basketball coach. But I don't know that the NBA is going to be a good fit for him. It just doesn't.
How many of these guys has it worked out for coming from college? And Stevens, obviously.
I mean, is Billy Donovan would you say he was a?
I think he was a better college coach than he's been a pro coach.
I think so too. Billy Donovan, by the way, is maybe the top choice for the Michigan job. Ironically. Yeah, it tends to, it's just a different world. It really is. And Stevens he's such a great X's and O's coach that it translated really well. But a lot of these guys a lot of their value is in their ability to recruit. And it doesn't work that way, you know, in the NBA. I don't really understand the hire. I think that he's a good coach, so I don't want to knock the hire. But it does kind of come out of nowhere to me.
Yeah, I thought that was weird. And you know, I guess your Lakers have a coach now, too, finally.
Yeah, that's... Does that even move the needle? I mean, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing there.
I just think it's become a garbage organization. And ever since Dr. Jerry died, they have been a garbage organization. And I don't think they have anybody there who knows what they're doing. And they're all just throwing stuff against the wall and seeing what sticks. And good luck with this hire.
Yeah.
So.
Frank Vogel, a career 5'11 head coach. Just over 500.
Okay. Well, that's...
I'm guessing by the end of this year, he'll be under 500. Yeah. He was under 500 in three of his final four seasons. In the NBA.
Well.
Missed the playoffs in three of the final four seasons. Lost in the first round the other time.
We'll have to see how that works out for him. Didn't talk about this, but the other games, we mentioned a little bit, the Blazers get by. How do you see Blazers-Warriors? Because I think the Blazers are sneaky good.
They are really good. I just think that they're the Warriors light. I mean, unfortunately for them,
no KD at least for game one, probably game two as well.
But. If I'm the Warriors, I sit him out until I feel like I'm in trouble, because I would want him as rested as possible. Because to me the real series is the one ahead of them in the finals, which is it's been rare. Well, I shouldn't say that. Last year it wasn't the case because the Rockets were better than the Cavs, but. They've seen some tough LeBron teams, but this year I think they've got a real test on their hands, particularly if the Bucks are that team in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. And then, but I think I am really looking forward to that Toronto Milwaukee.
I think
it's gonna
be very good. I think
what a shot by Kawhi Leonard yesterday!
Unreal, unreal. And someone asked me last night, would you trade Harden for Kawhi Leonard? Maybe I'm a hater, but 100% yes.
I'll go 73% yes.
Okay.
I'd do it. I would do it, but
I mean, if imagining that, I mean, you're talking about a guy who's an upcoming free agent versus a guy who's under control for the next 4 or 5 years. So that doesn't, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if all things were equal, money was equal, years were equal, if you tell me you can build your team around Kawhi Leonard or James Harden, that's not a discussion for me.
I tend to agree, but you're just a hater.
I'm a hater.
So I'm hating right along with you.
Which, by the way, I think you can also officially say you're better off building a team around Steph Curry than you are around James Harden. I know there's a lot of people who have tried to deny that for many years, and somehow Steph is just lucky.
That's a harder one because he's got so many great players around him. I mean, he is a great player, but I don't know if you put him on the Rockets, are they as good?
I mean, if he and James trade places,
yeah.
James is probably in a better spot, but.
Yeah, well, I think James is in a much better spot.
I still think the fact that...
But would the Rockets be as good? I don't know that they would.
Would they be as good as they are now? Or would they be...
Yes.
Yeah, I think they would be.
See, I don't think they would be. I think they'd be a first round and out team.
I don't think that.
I think
it's a good debate to have.
He's a great player, but to ask him physically to carry a team the way that James has to do it.
That is tough.
I don't know that he would hold up.
You'd have to have a different style of ball for sure.
Yeah, and that's not, I'm not diminishing what the guy is. I just think that one thing about James is he can carry a team in the regular season for a long way because he gets so many free throws and he stays healthy and he's durable and he's asked to do a lot. And I think part of that gets to them in the playoffs because they don't raise their game in the playoffs. Warriors raise their game in the playoffs. And the Spurs in the past always raise their game in the playoffs. Rockets don't really raise
their
game. It's pretty much the same game they had. You know, and a lot of people asking, can they trade Chris Paul? I don't see any way.
No one's taking that contract. No. There are teams probably that would take Capella's contract, but what are you going to get back? I don't know. I heard John Granato on the bench this morning talking about trading James Harden and Chris Paul to the Knicks for a package around Zion Williamson.
What?
I mean, that you're talking about like $80 million in cap. I think there's zero chance that could happen.
Yeah, I would agree.
But
I think what they are now is what they're going to be next year with just some different supporting cast. And
I think so too.
And I don't know that that's going to be good enough. And people are, you know, we're going to be, I just feel like this time next year, we're having the same conversation. It's like, well, they're really good. They just couldn't get past the Warriors. Maybe next year it's the conference finals. I mean, maybe.
If that makes you feel better. I mean, maybe. Yeah. I mean, honestly, if they win two more games, they're the 2 seed and maybe they're in the conference finals now. But is there anything that makes you think it would go any differently if they played them a week later? You'd still be playing the same guys.
No, and Rob says it's crazy to think the Warriors being the 1 seed raise their game in the playoffs, but they do. They
do.
And that's what they've done every year. That's why they roll through teams the way they do. It's why it's surprising that they've lost 4 games in this playoff already.
That's why when they looked vulnerable this season, I was like, they're going to be fine. This is what they do.
Yeah, they had a stretch during the season where everybody's like, oh, the Warriors done. They can't do that. Yeah, Curry was out, and they were not playing well.
They're fine.
Yeah.
It's like the Patriots. When the time comes, they're going to show up. And even if they look like, oh, well, this team's not as good as they've been, they're still better than everybody else when the playoffs start. And they're not invincible.
No.
You know, Patriots lost to the Giants, too. The Warriors lost to the Cavaliers. But they ain't losing anybody else.
Yeah, it's so hard. I said it's so hard to beat a better team 4 times. That's the whole issue.
Isn't it crazy to think in the last 4 years, the only team that's beat, well, now I guess we're into the 5th year. The only team that's beat the Warriors in a playoff series is LeBron James.
And Kyrie Irving. He was big in that series, too.
Yeah.
But that yeah. I mean, they came back from 3-1. They were dead.
Yeah. That's it.
So it's a pretty good little dynasty here. And that's the other thing, too. If you're Rockets.
If you win 4 out of 5 and you lost the middle series to maybe the greatest player of all time, a guy in the discussion for that. That's in a 7th game. That's
and that's the thing. That's why I'm not so sure you go fire a bunch of people if you're the Rockets because nobody else beats them.
Yeah.
It's not just you. I mean, I know that's your goal and that's what you've built your team to do, but guess what? Everybody else is trying to do the same thing and they're not doing it.
But here's the question you have to ask yourself if you're the Rockets. By the time this Warriors dynasty is over, is what you've got in place going to be good enough to win? Or do you need to start planning ahead?
Well, that's not a mindset that I think they've ever had there, either under Les or under Tillman. I think they're always going to try to be good. And you know, they're not gonna pull an Astro or a Sixer.
No.
And
there's no process.
Yeah. They're gonna keep doing what they're doing and hopefully it'll work out. But you know, at some point, James Harden is not gonna be MVP level James Harden. Nope. And you know, we'll see. But I think his game will hold up a few more years. I don't think he's going to go full CP3 on us. But I think that window's pretty small.
I want to talk about Clint Capella on the other side and what he is going forward. All right, I got to tell you about Chad, who last year was working two jobs trying to make ends meet, barely keeping his head above water. And back in February, he started his IT career, making more money, doing something that he loves. That could be you. If you're not in love with the job you're at now, change it. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today, and you could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. If you don't have experience or training, no problem. Helping people start an IT career is what they do. You attend classes on campus or live online just two or three times a week. It's going to be everything you need to start your new career. And it's more than a school. They help you get into the industry because they work with hundreds of employers that hire their students. They're nationally accredited. Financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start up soon. Go take that free career evaluation today. MyComputerCareer.edu. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. MyComputerCareer.edu.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Chase said, can I get the birthday shout out from yesterday? I shared my 34th with Mother's Day.
Shout out.
Yeah, you got it. I watched one other thing this weekend.
Damn.
I finally watched Glass.
Oh, yeah? Giant waste of time.
It wasn't as bad as...
I've heard not good things.
It's not great. I'm not sorry I watched it. I think really the last 20 minutes pretty good.
Okay.
But leading up to it... Really, it's typical
M. Night Shyamalan.
It's got so much promise, but it just fails to deliver. Very much like the Rockets in the playoffs, I would say. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number. Is Lance on the line? All right, we're going to go to our good friend Lance Zierlein, co-host of The Bench. Follow him on Twitter at Lance Zierlein. What's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
And we're doing sports, man. What's going on with you?
Sports also.
What was your what was your immediate reaction after the Rockets were eliminated? Did you feel like, man, that was, because I the way I felt was that was their last real shot with this group of guys, and it's only going to get tougher from here. What were your takeaways?
Well, I thought that last year, and then after the buyout, because there was nothing on the roster that led me to believe that the same team minus. You know, the same team with an older Chris Paul, a more expensive Chris Paul, and then, you know, lacking a defensive player in Trevor Ariza. I didn't see, headed into the season, especially with Carmelo, I didn't see that as a team that could compete. And then when they had the buyout market guys that came in, I started to change my tune because I was like, you know, James is somehow playing at just as high, maybe a higher level during the season. And then the buyout market guys with Austin Rivers and Kenneth Faried, I thought they really changed the team a great deal. And so, obviously, they had a much better shot. I think the odds makers showed that. But now that it's over, I mean, you just realize, once again, there is just not – I compared it to like this. You've got you're 90% of the way there, probably more like 85% of the way there, but you can't. That last 15% just almost feels unattainable versus this brand of basketball team. Whether it's coaching, hold on, being... No! And it's a dog's coming after me. Holy crap. I almost had a dog attack me on the air.
And you told him no?
Yeah, because he started coming at me.
Is it your dog?
I don't know who that dog is.
I like how you think that dog is just going to listen to you if you tell him no.
Don't let the dog get this audio. All right. So anyway, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So the last 15%, I'm telling you, I just got bum rushed by a dog right on my own street. Okay.
Whew. Are you
I
safe?
Thought I was going to get attacked by a dog. I'm in a safe space now, walking down the sidewalk. I just don't think that last 15% is attainable, whether it's through coaching, whether it's through your lead alpha player not showing up at the last 3 minutes when you absolutely have to have them to take over, or whether it's, you know, how more build for us, I don't know, or if it's ownership. I don't care how you say it. They're not going to get there. They're just not. And you can want them to, and it's going to be an almost thing for the rest of eternity, but this brand is just not going to do it. And now Chris Paul has $124 million left. Your cap, four players on your team take up over 85% of your cap space. How in the world, where's it going to come from? And you're, oh, by the way, also getting to be a much older team by the day.
To me, the Paul contract is, I mean, obviously horrific at this point.
Right.
I mean, he's going to make more money than James over the next three seasons.
That'll go well with James, by the way.
Oh, yeah. But the Capella contract, while it was thought to be a great deal at the time, I mean, the reason why they got him for that money is because nobody else was willing to pay him more. And he's less valuable today than he was a year ago. How bad of a contract is that right now? And, I mean, I would think you can probably move a contract like that 2 years from now when it's, you know, it doesn't have a bunch of time left on it. But right now, I don't feel like there's teams lining up to say, yeah, we want to give Clint Capella that money after, you know, we saw a year of what he is. I can't imagine that's the case.
I think Daryl could – there's been contracts I thought Daryl couldn't move that he's moved. So I just – and he's still a young shot-blocking rebounder who can run. And I still think if he wanted to, he could move it. But let's talk for a second about that contract in general. This is really interesting if you think about it, because the reason that Clint Capella couldn't get that deal is the reason that Dallas Keuchel couldn't get his deal, the reason that Craig Kimbrell couldn't get his deal. Because basketball now, just like baseball – is really populated by more intelligent, value-oriented front office guys who don't just bite on the terrible, you know, Isaiah Thomas, let's just get this contract, that contract, no sense of, you know, Allen Houston, give him $1 billion. Now, all of a sudden, Daryl Morey, in an ironic twist, ended up having to sign a contract that really wasn't a value-based contract for a guy who catches lobs and dunks them and get some, you know, some block shots and some rebounds. I mean, he ended up having to pay a premium price for a guy who, in essence, is a specialist. He paid a premium price for a player that you can find on the market for $7 or $8 million. I mean, you really can. And so Daryl, who's always been the master of value and one of the very best at it, no one would bite on Clint Capella at the rate he wanted, and so the Rockets got a quote-unquote team-friendly deal. But now, in hindsight, how team-friendly is it when you are on the hook for, you know, James and Chris Paul? And John brought up something. John thinks Tillman would be open to trading James Harden if he needed to, which obviously is the game-changer for the organization, but could also lead to a tremendous amount of losses. I mean, that could go sideways on you.
Well, and Fred and I were talking about that. Like, what's fair value back on something like that?
You have to get a ton back, because we can bitch and complain all we want. The fact is, James has tremendous value in terms of what he brings to a team's ability to win and score points and all that stuff. I mean, so you would have to, I mean, you're having to get a couple of, I don't even know.
They have to be young guys.
And a good player.
They would have to be young guys. They would have to be controllable for a while. I mean,
right.
And who's got guys like that, you know, that are willing to trade, you know, for a guy like James Harden? Like who are the young players that are so good that you're like, you know what, I could see that being equal value. You think the Mavericks are looking to trade Doncic for him? I mean, no. No. Like those are the guys who are like that. Those teams want to keep those guys.
Well, let me ask you this: what about the Suns? This is just a hypothetical. Just to play a little fun little game here. Is it? Would it even be considered even remotely near enough to get a guy like Booker and the Suns' first round pick, non lottery protected, non first three protected, for a guy like James? I mean, that's not, I don't think most teams would consider that enough, to be honest with you.
I don't think it would be enough, and you'd have, I mean, the salary wouldn't even be close to matching up
well,
either.
No, I mean, you can't match salaries. And by the way, that's going to be the hardest part. You can't match salaries for Chris Paul. It's except taking on bad contracts.
Yeah.
You can't match it.
Yeah.
More and more, this looks like Chris Paul's contract was a done deal when he came to the Rockets in the first place.
Well, one of the themes that we've had on the show today, I said maybe a guy that we should be looking at more for where the Rockets are right now is Daryl Morey, because he's the one who signed this bad Chris Paul deal. He's the one who, like you said, kind of settled for a guy that normally they wouldn't have paid in Clint Capella because I guess they felt forced into it. But now you've got two contracts that are kind of weighing you down here. And, I mean, to me, the guy to blame is the one who signed those guys.
Yeah, I think Daryl is an exceptional general manager. And, I mean, he would be hired the second he was fired. With all that said, you know, there's always, everyone has, the buck stops here for a number of things. I think Daryl has done his job in terms of putting together rosters that have been extremely competitive and have found ways to really bridge the gap between where the Warriors were then and where the Rockets are now. But the fact is, now you're about to see, and look, in fairness, everyone knows I'm, you know, a big proponent of Daryl Morey. In fairness, he also benefited from some trades that weren't. You know, the Pau Gasol deal the first time that really allowed him to have the opportunity to get his hands on James Harden in the first place. When Chris Bosh turned down the Rockets and went back to Miami, my gosh, if he had signed with the Rockets' plan was to lock down Chandler Parsons to a max dollar deal, they would have had Chandler Parsons with a busted knee. They would have had Chris Bosh with the heart condition. They would have been completely out of business from a tax, a salary cap tax standpoint. And I'm not sure that Daryl would have been able to recover from that with, at that time, Les Alexander. So, you know, I think Daryl has done a fantastic job. But at the same time, right now, I think what you see is an old Rockets team. Fred, you'll remember this team, and maybe you probably will too, AJ. You remember when it was Clyde and Eddie Johnson and Charles and Dream, and then it was Scottie Pippen. And before you know it, they were a super old team, and they look like an old team. And now you look at, you know, you look at James Harden, who's now 30, Chris Paul, P.J. Tucker, Nene, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, it's starting to feel old again, and they don't build through the draft, so I'm not sure. And they're not going to be able to hang on to these guys that they had from the buyout market, so I'm not sure where the youth infusion is coming from. I don't see it's even possible. So I'm with you, AJ. I think there's nowhere to go but down right now, unfortunately.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench, 7-9. He's also a target of angry dogs. Lance, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time, man.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll talk soon.
We'll see you.
All right, we are going to take a little break here. Come back. We got a gym of the day from Florida. And I think a crime that was committed has been made worse today. We'll get to that probably after the gym or in the 6 o'clock hour. There's still plenty of stuff we haven't even broached yet because.
I guess 6 o'clock hour. I want to talk a little bit about what happened at the UFC this weekend.
Yeah, that was, oh my God. She's lucky she didn't get her neck broken.
Dude, and there's so much backlash on Twitter.
Really? All right, well, we'll talk about that. I want to mention the Astros because they had a pretty good weekend. And what's that?
So without Altuve.
Yeah, well, they can afford that hit. But made a little pitching move that may pay off. We'll see. Got all that. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, what am I supposed to read here? Oh, yeah. This is a good one. Nope, that's not it. I'm supposed to tell you about we're going to be at Texas Mattress Makers on Thursday. The original on Navigation. Here we go. Join us at Texas Mattress Makers on Navigation at the corner of Lockwood this Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. Guess what? Select luxury mattresses are 40% off already factory direct prices. If you like memory foam beds, come see the originals 40% off, and that's off factory prices. Come hang out with us at Texas Mattress Makers this Thursday from 4 to 7 p.m. where comfort, quality, honesty, and expertise all come together. And to be honest, not a more honest, hardworking group than what they have over there at Texas Mattress Makers. Good people, top to bottom. All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
We go to Florida, of course. Where a Florida woman was arrested last week on felony neglect charges after police said her five children were living in filthy conditions. And here's where it kind of fell apart. A girl whose backpack allegedly had bugs crawl out of it at school. That's how they found it.
This is a sad story.
It is. Jessica Nicole Stevenson, 33, was arrested May 3rd. And after an elementary school worker alleged that Stevenson's second grade daughter had worn the same clothes to school for a week. The school worker made the allegation on April 18th. Also, the girl, when asked, didn't know the last time she'd taken a shower or bath. The worker gave the girl clean clothes and dirt was caked into the old clothing. One of the garments had caked fecal matter and urine soaked into it. I always hate when there's fecal matter.
I'm against that.
And then hundreds of bugs crawled out of the girl's backpack in the lunchroom. Ugh. And the worker was told that the children's house is currently infested with roaches. The school has given the girl new clothes a lot, but eventually wears them over and over again. So when they went there, they say bugs. It had to be roaches, right? Is there anything worse than that? Roaches crawling out of your backpack?
Not really.
And fecal matter? This is all Florida. So she's bond was set at $12,500. She was released on May 4 after paying or promising to pay 10%. She claims she's never neglected her children.
But they're covered in poop.
Yeah,
so.
Poo and urine and cockroaches.
Yeah.
And that is your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
All right. So, I don't know if you saw this, but Maximum Security's jockey got a 15-day suspension for his actions in the Derby, which I already think he should have never been taken down. This is just them being total dickweeds now.
That's crazy.
And, yeah, it's really a shame that it's put such a damper on what was a really good performance by that horse. But that guy didn't deserve a suspension for that. Come on. But, you know, that's their choice.
It's, I don't know. Like I said, I watched that thing a couple times. I don't know all the rules, but it didn't look like he did anything out of the ordinary to me.
Well, not in the Derby. That's the thing. I mean,
if it were an 8-horse field,
yeah,
I could see. But I mean, there's only so many places you can move to, and I don't know.
Yeah, I'm real interested to see what that horse does moving forward. I'm kind of glad they're basically telling the Triple Crown bleep you because I think the horse is pretty damn good and he's going to have a really good career and hopefully, but that's always going to just, that's going to taint it forever.
Yeah.
And it's going to taint that race forever. So we'll see. But I, that's another thing I disagree with. Just wanted to make that clear.
Here's my question. So the horse ended up, what's the name? Country House?
Or, yeah, yeah.
Why isn't that horse running?
Because he suffered some minor injuries and they don't think he'd run very well. And it was an absolute fluke that he won that race. So,
but don't you got to take a chance just in case? Or do you just take the money? Is it like basically cashing out your bet?
Yeah, I think.
Like knowing you got a losing ticket and you're hedging.
I'll be honest. Even if he were 100%, I'd give him 0% chance of winning the Preakness.
Okay.
I mean, so much had to go right for him. And there's some horses in there that I think are, frankly, just better. And, you know, I just don't think he would have won. And I think they realized, hey, he's not going to be 100%. Let's shut him down, bring him back, and win some bigger races later in the year. And I think that's kind of how a lot of guys are looking at it. There's not really some people run in these things for attention. Like Baffert almost always loves to have his horses in there because he gets a lot of attention for it. And you get better horses because of that. So these are the races that are on TV that everybody watches. So even with the Preakness not being as interesting, a lot of guys want to be there because if you win, it's a big story. You're all over the national newspapers. It gets treated like a major story, and you get a lot of attention. And it increases the breeding ability of your horse or how much you can charge for breeding and things like that. So there's a lot of benefits. So that's why you see a lot of guys bring horses back in 2 weeks. But you almost never do that any other time. And in this case, I think a lot of them are just looking at it going, well, there's not really much of a benefit for us. Why do it?
Yeah.
So Raphael said today was more of a turd of the day instead of a gem. That was disgusting, man. But, you know, every now and then we like to go Florida. All right. We got a lot still to talk about. Can we get a little Astros in at some point? Would that be okay?
Okay.
Doesn't have to be much.
Okay.
But
I want to talk that UFC fight.
Yeah, definitely. We'll do that first when we come back. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.